Hello, 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 and welcome to Not a Safe Space. This is Sabrina.
And Tabby.
Hey, girl, what's going on?
Not much. How are you?
Doing well. Just another day in paradise.
It is. Are we at 45 or 46?
45.
Okay, because I just put a post on Facebook, said, can't believe we're on number 45. And last episode, I said 43 when it was supposed to be 44, so I am getting my numbers all fucked up.
You said 44 in the beginning, and then second-guessed yourself halfway through, and you were like, wait, did I say 43 earlier or 44? And I know you said 44 because I wrote it down.
All right.
So we are on episode 45. Welcome, everybody. I'm sure everybody's answer to, hey, girl, what's up, is the same thing, same. Every new fucking day. Doesn't even feel like a new day.
That's true.
So no. You and I thought we should try to steer away from some COVID chit-chat, even though we know there's some updates and stuff. You guys can talk about that amongst yourself. We don't want to talk about it.
No, we don't want to talk about the craziness.
Right. So, current event-wise, anything new with you before I dive into my shit show of a marriage over here?
Yeah, so let me get my normal stuff out of the way.
All right, Tabby Fresh.
All right, so we got two new piggies.
Nice.
Their names are Laverne and Shirley.
Love the names.
They're awesome. They're Berkshire pigs. Apparently, they're very rare, and they're like the Wagyu of the pig world.
Nice. Okay.
I will be happy. We're going to breed them.
Okay.
But I'm going to be happy to eat one of them.
Nice. I'm sure. And the Wagyu of the pork world, do you have to feed it anything different? Because pigs just eat the garbage leftover, right? So anything different.
So Pam has been doing all the research, and she says when it's time to finish them, they're supposed to get oatmeal and milk.
Oh, that's a fatty diet. Could you imagine if I just ate oatmeal and milk? I'd be a potbelly fucking pig too.
Oh, no. It's like the last week.
Okay. And okay. So you fatten them up before they go to slaughter.
Right. And the only thing I can think about is milk is expensive.
It is. You better go to fucking Aldi's.
Yeah, but even Aldi's is expensive because when we got our baby bull from our neighbor's farm, because it was a twin and it got kicked out of the herd, we were feeding it this powdered milk that you buy at the tractor supply and making it and force feeding it down, but the bull wasn't getting any better, so we called the vet. The vet's like, well, the next best thing is milk. Go buy milk from the store. And we're like, really? It's that simple? He's like, well, where the hell did you think it comes from?
True.
Right? And I'm like, yeah, that's true. So, but that was expensive because that thing was going through a gallon every day, every other day.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty expensive.
How long do you have to feed the pig oats and milk?
I'm hoping it's only like 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. All right. How much milk do you think a pig drinks?
I mean, one of those pigs could drink a gallon of milk in one day, easy.
Right. And then the other one you're going to breed, so do you have to get another pig to fuck her?
Right, so we do. We got to get a male pig, and because we have two girls, so we're keeping both girls, and we're breeding them both, so we got to get another male to come in and go, boom, chicka, wah, wah. So you can get...
Nice.
And then...
I can't imagine what two pigs fucking look like. Well, I can't imagine because I'm a pervert.
It's not that exciting. It's just...
He just mounts her
and does a little... and that's it. And she walks away.
I bet it's like...
Pretty... Yes. Just funny. Like that. So...
Nice.
And then we're going to let them have babies because a piglet sells for $125.
Right.
These little fuckers can have anywhere between 8 and 19 pigs in a litter.
Wow. So then what do you do with them?
You sell them.
Okay.
So we sell the babies, right? Or, mm-hmm. you know, you keep a few for yourself to raise up and to eat. Because pigs don't take long to raise up. They're ready in 5 to 6 months.
Okay.
Quick turnaround. Not like the cows.
Okay. So when can she be knocked up, and which one's getting knocked up?
Both are getting knocked up, and as soon as we can find a male, and as soon as they can get it done. As soon as biology lets them.
Okay. All right. Nice.
Yeah.
Anything else going on?
Yes. So I'm totally going to do an ad right now. So Rodana Fields is launching our Brow Boost, and it is going to be available on August 4th. And Brow Boost, if anybody knows, is very much like our Lash Boost that makes your eyelashes grow. It's a multitasking tinted fiber gel that perfects the look of brows in one single step to instantly enhance brow color and shape. It features Lash Boost technology along with other key ingredients that nourishes the brows for the appearance of fuller, thicker, and more defined brows immediately and over time. So, okay. Which is fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
So it's going on your eyebrows. Will it help the people that overplucked in the 90s? Is that the idea?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So if you've overplucked, and it will help to define the eyebrows, and it will help with the lash, like the Lash Boost helps to grow your eyelashes, it will also help to help your eyebrows regrow.
Got it. Have you used it yet? Are you going to use it?
I am going to use it. And now, as a lot of people know, I have thick eyebrows, but I can still use it to fill in little areas. And I'm excited to try it, but I'm going to test something on it. As I'm getting older, I am getting thinning hair right around the edges. I'm going to see if I can swipe it in here and like make my hairline look thicker.
Okay. Yeah. What do you think that will work?
I have no idea. I'm just going to try some shit and see if it works.
You might as well. I just set an appointment. I'm having something done to my eyebrows.
Microblading.
Yeah, it's kind of like tattooing them. Mm. It lasts for about a year.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm in the stages of growing these fuckers out and then letting this guy straighten them out. He told me yesterday, he's like, okay, let me take a picture. They're crooked. And I was like, what? You telling me I've been walking around with fucking crooked eyebrows this whole time? Mm-hmm. Let's get this fixed, sir. Right. So I'm doing that next month. We'll see how it turns out.
And just for anybody who has already done microblading and looking to do it, you can still use this while you're having that done, too.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Okay, cool.
Because what it does is, look, for people who have to color in their eyebrows, right, it's just another way to put color in there. And then it gives your eyebrow hairs the nourishment and the vitamins that it needs. So it's still taking care of the eyebrow hairs that you have, right?
Yeah. I don't know if I ever told you, but when I was a senior in high school, I plucked Jamie's eyebrows.
Okay.
Jamie had these big, giant fucking caterpillars. And one day after school, it was a Friday afternoon, I said, you know, lay down and I'm going to pluck your eyebrows. So she, you know, laid her head on my lap and I started with one eyebrow and plucked the fuck out of them, like chunks of hair. They were so big.
Oh my God.
Then, and the only reason I know the day is because I didn't finish in time and we were both in marching band and it was a Friday night, so it was game night. So she had to go to the football game with only one fucking eyebrow done. And I'm talking like caterpillar versus thin line eyebrow, because this is 1997.
Oh my God, no, you didn't.
So then, the good friend I am, I mean, I finished it the next day. The problem is, 20 years later, her eyebrows are still exactly the same fucking size. It never grew back.
What?
So I don't know what I did, but it just, the way that mine grow back, hers don't.
That's really weird. I've never heard of that. Because, like, My eyebrows, I pluck and tweeze and wax, and that shit comes back.
Yeah, hers have never come back. And I even, you know, because I do her makeup whenever we're here. And so hers are still this line.
Wow.
That it just never changes. So I don't know if I pulled the fucking follicle out and it just, I don't know.
I don't know either. How could you do that though?
20 years.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. So this stuff from Rodan and Fields, does it include your eyelashes?
So, no, the Lash Boost is a separate product.
Okay, right. Got it. Have you ever thought about doing that? You know, it's all the rage now to get your eyelashes done.
Yeah, no, I've...
Are you into that?
No, because my eyelash... I use Lash Boost, not regularly like I should, but my eyelashes have always been long and thick.
Mm-hmm.
So, but as I'm getting older, you know, things are not staying like they used to. But I do have to tell you, I got the best compliment because, as you know, I've been using Rodan Fields since I was about 31, and it's been on and off, right? And I'm 37 years old now. I had a conference meeting with some ladies the other day, and we were talking about it, and she's like, oh yeah, she goes, oh, so you're in your 20s, and I'm like, honey, I'm 37. She's like, you're 30 fucking 7 years old? She's like, holy shit.
I bet that was nice to hear, right?
And I was like, wow. I mean, I was like, this shit works, doesn't it? See?
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's so important now. I don't think anybody realizes, well, anybody who's listening to our podcast that is in their 20s or even early 30s, they don't fucking get how important it is to take care of your skin and to start now.
Right, because people are like into makeup and people are into, you know, nail polish or, you know, and all this kind of stuff, but they're never into skincare until they realize what skincare does.
Yeah, or until you're trying to reverse damage.
Correct.
Rather than be preventative.
Right. We have a saying at Rodan and Fields, the best wrinkle is the one you never get.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Isn't that the
truth? It is. Because I can tell you, I've got three wrinkles. Three.
Where are they?
The one is right here, one is right there, and I got a tiny one across my forehead.
Nice.
And I work on rubbing those motherfuckers out.
What do you rub them out with? One of those jade rollers?
Yeah, the AMD roller with the night serum, because the little micro needles stimulate collagen.
Okay, got it. Anything else going on in Tabby Fresh's world?
No, that's it. I'm fresh out of ideas.
Nice. Well, I will update you on what I should not have called a shit show of a marriage, because I'm very happily married. But we've had some difficulties, girl, last couple weeks.
Yeah.
And not so much... maybe connected to COVID, right? Like, you know, the word that we don't want to use this week. But, you know, I think also just related to the fact that we're 16 years into this.
Yeah.
And when we met, we were both in our early 20s. Nate was mid-20s. And how people change over the course of time. And I think Nate and I have been very good about growing older together. Uh-huh. But where... I obviously, as a co-host of a podcast and in my own job of being in sales, I'm a talker, right? I am engaging. I want to talk to people about the stupidest things, the smallest things, the most important things. It doesn't matter. I just want to talk. And you know my husband. He is not that man.
No, he is not.
Does not talk at all.
Which is probably why he married you, so you could do the talking for everybody.
Right. But see, sometimes I feel like he resents my personality because it is a lot, right? Like, I'm not that I think he's never agreed with me about it or said that I was right. But sometimes I do feel like he thinks like, all right, this is a bit much. Like, can you just stop talking? Where I'm looking at him saying, I need you to talk, and I need you to talk more than ever. Because of this circumstance we're all in, mm-hmm. right? I typically lead a life where someday I work from home. All of you guys know that. But typically my work life includes travel, and it includes an excessive amount of travel at times. And then sometimes I'm sitting at home for weeks. But in my life, that allowed me, even though I work at home and where that would drive an extrovert crazy, the fact that I get to have this podcast, I have my girlfriends, I have the ability to go out of town and talk to strangers at an airport. I meet people at the hotel bar. I'm friendly with the hotel clerk. I'm, you know, these coworkers that I get to see. That feeds my need for outside communication and talking. Right. Because of this pandemic and social distancing, all of that is gone, right? Besides this podcast, you're the only person I talk to for 2 hours every week.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's just not happening. Like I mentioned before, I'm even kind of finding myself withdrawing from text message groups with my friends because there's just nothing more to say.
Right.
Right. And that's almost where I am in our marriage of you get up every morning and it's the same thing over and over again. So what interesting things am I going to talk to my husband about when life is on repeat every day?
Yeah.
And so then we found ourselves in an argument last week where it was just over something stupid of, you know, was it the last monster in the house? And did you, you know, refill the refrigerator? Which the answer is no, he doesn't. He doesn't refill the refrigerator. He doesn't know if we have monsters. All he knows is if he takes the last one from the fridge, in his mind, that's it, right? Because there's somebody else that does a lot of stuff in this house that my husband doesn't have to worry about. It's me, the kids, whoever it might be, which I'm okay with.
Okay.
I'm okay with delegating out work. What I'm not okay with and what caused this argument was when he was like, well, it's the last one. And I said, well, is it really the last one? Because, you know, there's a whole nother case in the thing. Oh, well, how was I supposed to know that? And I told you yesterday it was the last one. And I was like, well, why does it even fucking matter? And I was getting annoyed with just the fact that now we're arguing about whether it's the last monster or not. And I had to go pick up a Walmart order. And I said something along the lines of, I need to get the fuck out of here. And I do know that I've been saying that a lot.
Right.
Because it's true.
Yeah.
It's the way that I feel. I want out of here. Not because I'm not happy here, but because I feel like something is missing and I miss something and I want out.
Right.
As I'm sure a lot of us do. And he takes that very personally and said something to me like, well, you know, then fucking go and you should get a divorce if you're not happy. And then I got pissed at him and I was like, why do you always say that to me? Like, stop saying that. We are in this forever and stop throwing, because guess what? One day I'm going to take you up on it.
So does Nate need to get out of the house too? Because, you know, even as much as an invert as he is still used to going to an office and still talking with coworkers and that kind of stuff. And, you know, and maybe he's about to blow up because mm-hmm. it's the same shit day and after day. And he's not in his element, right?
No, he's not.
You know, this is your house. You're running it, especially during the week when he goes to work, right? Like, you have this whole fucking routine. And now he's mm-hmm. like the schmuck sitting in the kitchen not knowing what to do. Right. So maybe he's about to explode, too.
I think, you know, for him, it's like an introvert becomes more introverted when something like this happens. You just go into your cave and you stop talking. You stop doing these things, which is, you know, I'm this weird mix of somebody that is okay being at home by myself and doing nothing. But because I have this other life that I live as well, where so, and that's why I'm saying the introvert in me is pulling in and stop texting people, stop reaching out to people, where the extrovert in me is screaming, you got to get the fuck out of here or you're going to lose your mind.
Right. And you are.
Yeah. So we get into this big argument. I actually called him on it. I was like, fine, I want a divorce. If you're going to keep saying that to me, then that's what we're going to do. And then, of course, he panicked and backtracked. And I was like, just stop saying that to me. Like, first of all, respect us enough to stop saying that. Like, I've told you, no matter what, I'm in this for the rest of my life, for the rest of yours, whatever ends first. Either way, I'm in this, right? Okay. So we go away for the weekend, just the two of us, to St. Augustine, which then allowed us more time to talk. Quite honestly, I think the argument happened on like a Tuesday, and we didn't talk really the rest of the week. I told him not to speak to me, don't touch me, don't.
Oh wow!
Like, I don't want to deal with this right now. And I knew that we were going to be alone with one another, and that we could talk to one another rather than yell. Like, there's no reason for us to do that. Like, we, you know, we both really love each other. There's just no reason to be ugly to one another. Right. So while we were there, we were just talking about the fact, like, has Dion kissed you today?
Yep.
Does Dion kiss you every day?
Yes, he does.
Well, see, Nate and I, the habit stopped, because typically in the mornings, Nate gets out of bed and goes to work. And when he leaves for work, he comes over to my side of the bed and kisses me goodbye and tells me he'll see me later, right? And then he comes home from work. And he gives me a kiss hello, and I give him a kiss hello, and we go on about our evenings. Well, now he's getting out of bed and just walking to the office, and then I get up and I walk to my office, and maybe I'll see him as I'm sitting here, walk into the kitchen at lunchtime, or maybe I won't until 5 o'clock.
Right.
And at that time, then I'm going into the kitchen, getting dinner ready, or, you know, pointing a kid in the right direction to get dinner ready. And he's coming out of the office to work. And so I told him, I said, you know, we have to stop that, because there could be days where we're no longer kissing each other hello and goodbye, because we're not going anywhere anymore.
You guys are losing your intimacy. And
yeah,
and it's because you guys are home so often, you don't know how to navigate that. But like Dion and I, like I said before, we've been living like this for 6 years already.
Right.
So this COVID thing is not nothing new for us, right? Being stuck
in the house. Right,
yeah. But what we do is throughout the entire day. If I get a break, I go and see if he's got a break, we go downstairs and I go and I hug him and I give him a kiss and I tell him I love him. Or he does the same thing for me. Or if we have 15 minutes... like in lunch, right? We literally go into a bedroom and we snuggle.
Mm-hmm.
We snuggle. We kiss each other and we curl up and we snuggle. And then sometimes we chit-chat and sometimes we don't. Sometimes the dogs join us. And it's just this connection. And you have to get that back.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We have to make it a point to make sure that we're actually doing it. And so since we've been back, we have been doing it, where we've committed to at least a good morning and a good night. And then, you know, I said, if I can get a lunchtime kiss, then great, because I suck at cuddling, holding hands. That's the other thing, right? We're not in the car. Normally, Nate and I hold hands when we're on the car. We're not in the fucking car together anymore.
Right.
We're not going places anymore. So there's no hand holding. There's none of that.
Are you holding hands when you're sitting there watching TV together?
No. What? We're on two separate sides of the couch. Yeah.
See, no, you gotta come together in some parts, right? I mean.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that. Where before, it wouldn't matter, right? And if this was pre-COVID, I don't need to hold your hand on the fucking couch. I've had a long fucking day. I might have just driven in from town. But now that things are different, I agree that you have to readjust and make sure that you just don't fall into this mundane
pattern.
Pattern, over and over again. And then before you know it, you're looking at each other like, all right, well, we're just roommates now.
Pretty much.
Right? You're just roommates that handle finances and raise these two little monsters together.
Oh,
so,
yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I went through that with my first marriage.
Yeah, so then it was nice. This is the good thing about Nate and I, is that we really do listen to one another when we're not yelling, right? And even if we have an immediate reaction, we're both really good at stopping, thinking, and apologizing immediately for what we might have said or the way that we realize the other person feels. And so the best thing we could have done was go away, just the two of us, not just for us, but when we came back, even the kids said, "We're glad you guys left," because the kids on their own have missed being at home on their own. They were used to us going away for the weekends. They were used to us having date nights. They were used to all this stuff. They were used to having time where mom and dad aren't walking by going, "What are you guys doing? On your phone again? Can't you find something to do? You need a chore to do? I'll find you a chore to do."
Right. They're like, yeah, they need their own space as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And outside of our bedrooms, right, where we're all trying to hide and go away to and all these other things. So we went to St. Augustine for the weekend. I know that I complained on here about, like, I was tired of shower sex. So we're driving down there. Lorelai wants more money in Roadblocks, right? She wants $20. She had done her chores in this game, online game.
Oh, okay.
So we leave Jacksonville at like 1 o'clock, and I told her that Daddy had to do it, and as soon as we got there, we would do it. So for the next 4 hours, she texts me, "Are you guys there yet? Are you guys there yet? Is Daddy there yet? Are you Daddy there yet?" We get checked into the B&B. We are about to have mid-afternoon sex, which we haven't done in months, right? I mean, last time I tried, I got walked in on by my kid. So that idea went out the door. So we're about to have mid-afternoon. It's like 4 o'clock.
That's the key. That's why you two stop being intimate. Because...
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a combination of the two, right? Because now we're also only having sex in our bedroom. And then only having sex in the shower in the bedroom. Because you have sex in our bed, there's somebody knocking at the door. Because our room is right outside the kitchen. Like, there's just no getting away from it.
So you've had sex since Lorelai walked in?
Well, yeah. But just
not
in the shower.
Okay.
And just not as often as we had been, right? Because you think about it, I travel, right? It makes me miss my husband. It makes me want him more. We're texting each other inappropriate stuff while I'm gone, mm-hmm. you know, so that desire's there. It makes me miss my family too when I'm gone. Like, I can't wait to get home to them. Those feelings are gone. As much as I enjoy being here, I also enjoy being there, but that being there makes me enjoy this.
Right. Okay.
And it makes me want him more, right? So, 4 o'clock, mid-afternoon sex, and Lorelai calls.
She wants her $20.
She does, and I'm like, holy fuck, hold on 1 second. I'm literally laying on top of him butt naked, like cracking up. Like, we still can't get the fuck away from these kids. Then I hang up, phone call.
Ethan.
Here's Ethan. "Mama, did you order dinner yet?" Holy fuck, leave me alone. So I'm like, let's just do it or they're not going to leave us alone.
Wait. I have something to put in here.
Kay.
Your 18-year-old son called you to ask if you ordered dinner. Why can't he order dinner?
Yeah, because he was charging it to my card and I had the Uber Eats app.
Oh, okay.
He didn't have my credit card. So, but still... They just can't. It was 4 o'clock.
Oh, he called at 4 o'clock for dinner?
Yeah, I'm like, he was like, "We're really hungry." And I'm so butt naked. We're like, "Listen, stop calling us. We're going to order your food. But do not call us again unless somebody is dead. Not even injured, unless you guys have died. Injured, call Miss Jen."
Right. If you're on the hospital.
Dead, call
us. If you're on the way to the hospital, then give us a call.
Right. So,
you'd probably have to order the ambulance for them.
right. So we do it. We have fun. The plan is to just social distance among ourselves. The room has a balcony. We've stopped at a package store for Nate. We are just sitting out listening to music overnight at in St. Augustine, but by ourselves. Mm-hmm. The next day, we go to the beach together by ourselves. Which we come back, and now we're going to have sex again. And this is when I almost died.
Okay.
So you look so excited.
I am. I want to know how you almost died. You're on your way back from the beach.
All right. So we go to
start having sex. And I want him to go down on me. So I'm like, you're going to need to eat this. Like, this is just, I'm just laying on the bed. Go ahead. So he tries to put his dick in my mouth. And I'm like, and listen, I'm all for that. I enjoy a blowjob just as much as the next guy. Not that girls enjoy, but I enjoy giving it, right? So, but that's not what I wanted. And that's not what I wanted to do at that moment. So now I'm a little annoyed. And I'm like, get your dick out. I'm like, get your dick out of my mouth.
How is that going? Get Sabrina. Oh my God, I wish I was recording this video right now because I'm
Right. So then now we're both a little annoyed, right? Mm-hmm. And butt naked and annoyed at each other.
That's never good.
Yeah, but knowing like, all right, we're going to suck this up because both of us want to get off and have sex. So we're going to hate fuck each other at this point.
Oh my God.
So then we start having sex again, which is great. And, you know, I enjoy a little hand around my throat every once in a while.
Yeah.
Puts his hand around my throat. In my mind, I think, huh, this feels a little aggressive. Huh, this doesn't feel so bad. And then nothing.
What do you mean nothing? Did you black out?
I wake up.
Ooh!
And I'm like, imagine, like, I'm laying on my back. I wake up and I'm like, no fucking clue. It felt like it had been 30 minutes. And I look at Nate and his hands are up like this. And he looks scared and he's like, what just happened?
Oh.
And I was so confused and I'm looking at him and I'm like, I'm still like blinking it out. And I'm like, I don't know. Did you choke me? And he's like, no.
Lying motherfucker.
I was like, all I remember is what I just said. And he was like, it was just for a second. And he was like, it was not long at all. And he was like, but you started like shaking really quick and then woke up. And I was like, oh, you killed me. And he was like, I did. Now we're both still butt naked and so confused and like, what has happened here? And he's still in this denial of, it wasn't me. I did the same thing I've been doing for 16 years. And in my, but I was like, I remember thinking like, huh, this is a little harder than normal. And then nothing. It took hours, Tabby, to convince this man, for this man to finally concede that he caused it. Because he kept saying, no, 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 it was just a second. I swear on everybody. And then I said, then fine. I need to go to the emergency room. I said, because I'm a perfectly healthy woman. And if I just had some type of seizure and passed out.
Yeah, you definitely need to go.
I was like, then I need to go to the hospital. And he goes, okay, all right, maybe it was me. He was like, but I swear to you, it was only a second. And I was like, but you could have killed me. And he told me that he knows somebody that died like that.
Yeah. So
that it was, listen to this, who it was. It was this girl that he knew that was married to a Navy man who then her husband was going out to sea and she was fucking some other dude.
Uh-huh.
Who strangled her during sex and killed her.
Wow.
So now, not only is she a cheating whore, but she's a freaky whore.
And a dead one.
Yeah. And I was like, can you imagine? Like, what would my children think?
That daddy
think?
Killed mommy?
Right. And then now Nate's like, well, what about me? I'm the one who has to suffer the consequences.
You have to suffer.
I got to.
You're dead. I think you paid the bigger price. But
right.
This proves my point. I told you Nate was fucking build up. I told you he's
right.
Just as build up and frustrated as you. That's why he choked your ass out. He's like, this
know,
bitch doesn't want to go
I...
anywhere.
Right. I was like, man, if you were that mad about getting your dick sucked, you could have just said something. You didn't have to try to kill me.
Oh. Yeah, he's like, you went out of the house. Here you go.
Dead. Yeah, dead. So now I keep saying, hey, remember that time you almost killed me?
He looks at you and goes, you motherfucker.
Yeah, well, now we're giggling about it. But could you imagine? Imagine if I ended up in the ER or something, and then everybody's like, well, what happened?
You might want to talk to him, because I don't remember.
Right. No. Literally, the last thing I remember is, huh, feels aggressive. Huh, doesn't feel so bad. Yeah. And then just this confused, if he would have told me that we had sex and I just had fallen asleep, I would have.
You would have believed it.
I wouldn't have argued, yeah, because I was like, what the
fuck? Well, technically, you did fall asleep.
I did, right?
Oh, my gosh. So, have you ever... So, I'm guessing your choking has never gone that far. No.
Never.
How far has your choking gone before?
I mean, okay.
I mean, like... No. So,
what else
like,
is the point of
I've
death?
Been in situations where the choking is like so extreme, like I almost kind of feel like I'm gonna black out, but I never actually black out.
I don't think I have.
Because when you get to that line, kind of like before you black out, and as you're having sex, and then you release it, and he's still pounding, you will have like one of the best fucking orgasms. Ever.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've definitely had it enough where the very first time I had bruises on my neck.
Okay.
I can remember I was like 20-something years old and my ex-husband called me out on it and asked me why there were bruises on my neck. Sometimes when he does it, I can feel like if I push on my neck, I can feel the bruise, but there is none. So, I mean, obviously, I like it a little tight. Just not to the fact where I'm going to seize and fucking die.
Yeah, well, that part.
I'm a lady, for God's sake.
Well, are you really? I mean, come on.
I don't want to say my fucking death certificate to say what is sexual and what's the word?
Asphyxiation.
Yeah.
I think I want mine to say that. I don't want cardiac arrest.
Right.
I want to go out while having sex. Consensual sex.
Right, right. So,
although that might traumatize Dion.
Right. So, we've been laughing about it. It was funny. Nothing's ever happened like that. Now, the next day, I was like, don't even think about it. Don't put your hand anywhere near my neck. You're in a baby timeout.
A baby timeout. What do you say to that?
Yeah. Oh, I don't think he's arguing at this.
No, he's like,
I think he's thankful that I'm alive.
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
He doesn't want you to press charges.
Exactly. Well, exactly, because he had just, you know, we had just gotten into an argument. He had messaged, like, Jen about it. He had messaged his sister about it. So now I'm dead?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to jail, motherfucker.
Pretty much.
But we're doing better. It's, I think, since we've come back, like I said, kisses, trying to pay attention. Not just that, but I'm kind of an asshole to my husband when it comes to Facebook. He is on there more often than I am.
Right.
During the day, I'm on there, but... I just do a quick scroll. I'm not actually reading stuff. I'm giving out likes and stuff, but I don't actually invest a lot of time into it. He does, and he tags me in a lot of things. So here, he'll ask me, did you look at this? No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Because I just thought it was some bullshit article that you messaged me. But he's doing that too because it's something that he thinks that I'm interested in. And I could not be an asshole and read it. And then engage in conversation about it, right?
You mean that conversation you want to have with your husband that you're bitching about?
Right, exactly. Well, and this is what I'm saying. This is the good thing about Nate and I is we're both able to self-reflect and see, this is where I'm messing up and this is where you're messing up and how can... Because we truly just want the best for one another. We've always said that. I am not a selfish person. If my husband is happy, I'm happy. If I'm happy, he's happy. If we both have that goal, we're going to live a very happy life.
Right.
So, and as long as I'm still breathing,
we still got a chance.
There you go. As long as one of you guys are breathing.
Right. So everybody celebrate. Take a deep breath.
Yes.
Celebrate that I made it. I made it out.
And you guys are better for it.
Important question. We are. And I can't believe you didn't ask me this if we finished having sex after that.
I assumed you did. Because I know.
Yeah,
you.
I do. Yeah, I did. After I confirmed that I wasn't randomly having seizures now, I'm game back.
Yeah, well, because that's why you guys were there, right? So,
exactly.
Yeah, I would be disappointed if you hadn't.
Right, right. Well, we did.
Good.
For the rest of the weekend. So it was good. This makes me want to jump over to the Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith.
Yep.
Red Table Talk had the highest number of views in a 24-hour span.
Really?
On the video that they did. What's the lady's name? The interviewer's name from the Breakfast Club had interviewed this rapper named August somebody.
Uh-huh.
August went on and said that him and Jada had a relationship together
mm-hmm.
4.5 years ago, that he was in love with her, and that Will Smith had given his blessing. So this article comes out. The Jada Pinkett Smith family has a very large following.
Right.
The article comes out. There's people screaming that he's a liar. There's people screaming that there's been rumors for years that they've had an open relationship.
Okay.
So it's kind of an argument on the both sides. I did not expect them to ever address any of this. They never have in the past. I was very surprised. And I think this is why they received so many views, is nobody expected them to be so brutally honest.
Right.
So they go on to say that August was not lying, that 4.5 years ago, Jada and Will Smith had taken a break in their marriage.
Yep.
Will said that he was effing done with
right.
her, and that Jada said that she needed to be selfish and she was unhappy and she had to go find that happiness on her own. And by having a friendly relationship with August, developed into what she called an entanglement. I did love that Will said, is that what we're going to call it?
Oh, I loved that Will was like, really? Well, I'm in Jada's position right now because you brought yourself to the table. And let's be real, right?
I love
because
that.
Because she
yeah.
didn't want to call it what it was. And
right.
I found that was... calling it an entanglement is a slap in his face. Call it what it is. Yes,
so?
Because you can see in his eyes how hurt he was by everything that had happened. And this
mm-hmm.
poor man now has to relive it in the social media through all their lies and bullshit. Right?
Right.
So he's like, if I've got to relive it, you're going to call it what it is.
Right, yeah. And
you know,
but I think the proper name for it, right, would have been a relationship.
Correct.
I don't think I would call it an affair because this is what they also cleared up. And I think a big part of why they discussed it is because August did mean something to her.
Right.
And so she did not want to go out and say he's a liar. And I feel like there's probably a big part of Will that didn't want her to come to the red table, but she wanted to hold herself accountable and not let this narrative go out for a man that she did care about and say that he was a liar, right? That's the easiest thing to do, is just to deny and lie and say that he made it up.
Right.
So you could tell that Will was very uncomfortable and saddened by the fact that he had to talk about that. I loved that they did that.
Right.
I love that they had explained that more, and they've explained this a few times, that more than considering themselves husband and wife and being in a marriage, they consider themselves life partners. That they have said that no matter what, they are never moving out of that compound they live in. They will live there together, whether it's you living on the one side with somebody else and me living on the other side, but the two of us will always work to build each other up and be in one another's life no matter what. I kind of love that idea. I love that thought. No, not so much as, hey, let's make this an open marriage, because that's not what they're saying.
Right.
But they're saying that if it doesn't work out, there's no reason why we
can't still be best friends and just know that we love each other, but not the way we need to be loved to be intimate partners with one another.
Agree. I just can't imagine still living in the same, well, house compound, right?
Yeah, I mean, when you get 30,000 square feet, I feel like it's not so bad.
No. I can tell you, like, as a partner that would come in, I wouldn't want to come into that. I'd be like, no. You know what I mean? Because if you can't move outside of that compound and maintain that relationship and best friends with them, then there's still something going on that's holding you on a deeper level than just a friendship. That's not going to allow you to be emotionally invested in somebody else.
Well, I think, you know, that's the point of what they're saying is that, you know, if it doesn't work out for them, they do have a deeper connection than just a friendship.
Right.
But at some point, maybe it won't be a deeper relationship that includes intimacy or includes the parts that they need to be fulfilled. And at this point of time in their life, not that Will had consented or given August his approval, but he was aware of what was going on.
Right. You know.
And to the both of them, they were all on a break.
Absolutely. And in their minds, they were over. So.
Yeah.
And, I thought at one point, I was like, you know, her calling it entanglement, I'm going, is this their, like, marketing way of making it softer? Because if it had been Will who had slept with another woman during their break, would we consider that an affair? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? But because...
I don't think that it's so much that they were trying to soften it as I perceived it as a way of her trying to title into something that was respectful to August.
Right.
Instead of calling, because an affair is not what happened if they were not together. A relationship, I think, would have been more appropriate.
Yeah, I guess I can see because their relationship was finished, but legally it was an affair. I mean, because they were still technically married.
Yes, but this is the thing, right? If you're, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're against the fact that marriage requires going and signing a piece of paper and all of this, right? So, and so are they.
Okay.
But they are married because they married when they were very young. And as they've grown, they've decided, you know, like, we don't need these titles as long as the two of us have emotionally connected to one another.
Right, absolutely.
And emotionally committed to one another. So in the eyes of the law, who cares what you guys call it? Is in our family, we're referring it to this. I don't think that he was, like you said, he called him out on it. And I do like, because she does hold people accountable in that show, and that she went there and had to spill the fucking beans on something that's private because you put your life out
there. Right, exactly. You sure did.
Yeah.
And what I really, really liked is that they had this issue. There was this, as they call it, transgression. And they came back from it. There was no secrets. They were able to make it work. They worked through it. They, you know, confronted it. They are, they healed through it. And the media can't destroy them for that.
Right. You know? Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. And I like that there was no blame. I think the process they follow, and they've done a lot of work on self-reflection and therapy and all these different things, that she didn't say we were on a break because Will couldn't do this for me.
Right.
She said this was me.
Yeah.
I needed to find the way to make me happy again.
Right. And she did, because she even admitted that she was very codependent. She wanted to fix Og. And that's why Og came into the family, because he had a lot of mental health problems, and the entire family rounded up to help him, right? And she even said she really liked fixing him. And I said, you know, maybe that's why she's attracted to him, because he's having trouble and she can fix him, and Will is already fixed. Will's no longer a project.
Right. Yeah.
Which means, and I like that she said she learned a lot on that journey, because she would rather spend her time fixing someone else than fixing herself.
Right. Right. Yeah, I liked it. I feel bad for them now because of all the backlash of, there's these jokes about, you know, his wife being pounded by such and such. And that's one of my questions is, you know, are you willing to allow breaks in your marriage? I think it's a beautiful thing that they have. At the end, they ended it with, we ride together, we die together, bad marriage for life, which is the slogan from Bad Boys. Right. That I love that thought, because it's something that I've said to Nate, that I've said in the beginning of this, is I am committed to Nate till the end. In my mind, he can have transgressions. I don't want him to. I don't think he will. But I also think that I come from a place of understanding that if my husband does cheat, it's not a physical thing. There's going to be something wrong between the two of us. Mm-hmm. That caused it, and that there's room for that in my mind, because I want to spend the next 50 years of my life with him.
Right.
And the thought that one transgression, one whatever, ruins that all, I'm not okay with that. The problem is I'm married to somebody who's like, no, There's none of that.
Right, and I'm very much like your husband on that one.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, there's no room for transgression, because if, like you said, the transgression is not necessarily a physical thing, there's something emotionally going on with us, then we need to face that problem before the transgression actually occurs. And that means there needs to be communication and trust. And if you don't have those things, you don't have a marriage.
Right. Well, I think more than just if you take another person out of it, in my mind, if I get to a certain place that I feel like this isn't for me, I would like my husband to say, instead of saying, well, if you don't like it, just leave, of saying, okay, you need a break. We don't have to scream the word divorce at each other. We can live together yet separately while we figure out, for our family and for one another, if this is okay.
Right. Now, that's... So, to me, that's a little bit different, right? That's mm-hmm. a couple having a conversation, understanding there's a problem, and both agreeing to letting one go, right? Or giving mm-hmm. them that space and that freedom. And in that could mean that they sleep with someone else.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Not that you're going to go out and do it, but that could happen. And that could happen to a place that shows you that even that person's touch isn't home to you. Like, Nate is home to
me. But to me, there's that, and then there's not talking about the issue and just going out and cheating transgression.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that. To me, that is more of an open marriage. That is when you are opening the door to let people in and out, and that's not fixing something. No. I do like the idea of space to be able to say, look, I need a minute.
Right.
I'm committed to you. I'm committed to our family, but I need a minute. And that minute might include somebody else, but it doesn't necessarily have to.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily have to mean the end for us either. Why does it have to be so black and white like that? And who determined all of that? Because the divorce rate in this country is fucking terrible. Obviously, that formula is not working.
Right. It's true.
You know, the Smiths have been married for 20 years.
Yeah. 25.
Yeah, that's a long time.
That is a long time. You know, and there's, you know, marriage is not easy. Marriage is hard. And everybody thinks that it's easy, especially when you're young. And, you know, when you're young, you think everything is easy. And then when it's hard, you just throw it away and move on to something else. You know, you got to learn how to get through it. But I do want to know, because Will had said that he did get her back. I want to know how he got her back.
So I noticed that too. At the very end, he said, "I just want you to know, I'm gonna get mine one day." And she said something like, "You already have."
Right.
And he laughed it off. And I perked up instantly and I was like, uh-oh, spill the tea. I want to know.
Right.
Because on the other, one of the other podcasts I listened to, Flagrant 2, I think, they were talking about the fact that someone said that Will sleeps with some of his co-stars.
Oh.
And that was the rumors of them being in an open relationship. And so was that true? Did he... Where people might mislabel it as an open relationship, where they, between the two of them, they were on a break. They don't need to cast that to the world.
No, it's none of their business.
Right? So then, yeah, so maybe people just assumed that they were on, or in an open marriage, but maybe he was revenge fucking.
Maybe. Who knows? Or maybe it was something entirely different.
Right.
You know, you never know.
Yeah. I also have a friend that told me that he was in this committed relationship with his girlfriend. He journals. As a young man, he was journaling. And he wanted to break up with her. It was a few-year committed relationship.
Okay.
He was in his early 20s. And he cheated on his girlfriend. And during that cheating, through the act of it, realized that he was wrong. That he did want to be committed to her.
Okay.
And he wrote all this down in his journal.
Uh-oh.
And then he comes home and his journal is out and she's read it.
Oh, boy.
And he's saying, well, obviously you didn't read the end where it says, I'm recommitted to you. Like, I did this and realized that this isn't what I wanted, that you are what I wanted. So then again, like, is there room for forgiveness for that? He would have just ended it, right? He would have just ended it and walked away and maybe never gave it a chance.
See?
Now he fucked up and realized that it was a mistake and he's willing to throw himself on the sword and recommit to you.
Right, but I have a hard time about it because he just went out and cheated. He didn't say, I'm having issues. He didn't try to work it out. He just ran and slammed his dick into another pussy and realized, whoops, I don't want to do this. But now she's supposed to forgive that?
Right.
Like, I have a hard time with that. Like,
mm-hmm.
if you don't want to be here, then don't be here. But be man or woman enough to say, I have a problem. This isn't working. I need to go over here and do X, Y, and Z. That I can respect. But because you're not man or woman enough to talk about the hard shit and then run out and do the act and you expect me to forgive you for that because now you're committed, fuck you. You didn't have enough respect for me initially.
Right.
And that's the hard part I have. Like, you know,
I agree with that. I think, and even though people say, so to me, if an accident happens, you accidentally cheat on somebody,
I hate that.
That is more about control and desire and your lack of ability to control that. To me, it's a very selfish moment.
Yes. And I hate that phrase.
Yeah.
You don't accidentally have an affair. You don't accidentally cheat. You make
a
conscious choice to have sex with someone that is not your partner.
Right, right. No, I agree with that. I agree. Well, I really liked the Red Table Talk. If you guys haven't watched it, you should watch it. I still need to watch the one from Will Smith from Father's Day, too. I wanted to see that. I think people's journey into parenthood's interesting because... I think a lot of parents are pretty fucking hard on themselves. And I like that Will is pretty open about the fact that, about their mistakes and what they've done wrong. So I'm interested to hear that as well.
Okay.
Part of this, since we're still talking about sex, on our weekend, I pulled up like 20 fun questions or something like that to ask your spouse. So on it, we were talking about,
one of the questions were, you know, which rooms have you had sex in your house? And so then Nate and I were going through our house, and the only rooms we haven't is obviously our children's rooms. But the hallway on the way to our children's room, I've had sex on the floor there. We've everywhere in the house. Oh, laundry room too, because Nate can't reach me up on the laundry, on the washing machine. He's just not tall enough. So then we were like,
Nate.
Now, we've even done it on the back patio, in the driveway, in the garage. So then I was like, well, what about a basement? We've never had sex in a basement. And so he goes, well, have we had sex in Tavi and Dion's basement? And I was like, no, we've only slept down there once, and our kids were down there. And he was like, we're going to have to go down and have sex in Tavi and Dion's basement. And I was like, well, obviously we have to. They're the only people we know with a basement.
And this is true.
And so we're going to have to do that. I mean, it just makes sense to me. And then he goes, wait, Chicago. And I was like, the Airbnb. And then we looked at each other and we pounded fists and we like checked it off the list. Bam. Because we stayed in an Airbnb that was the basement converted to the house above.
Oh, okay. So you already had sex in the basement.
Yeah, so your basement is free and clear.
Yay, good. Now I don't have to worry because there's a lot of things down there you don't want to get into.
Right. So that made me think of, okay, well, what else is on my sex bucket list? Do you have, like, a bucket list or just talking of this, of, like, anywhere that you'd like to have sex that you haven't? Do you and Dion have sex in public or not?
No, so I don't like sex in public. So I'm going to sound like a prude.
I don't think it's prudish.
I just like having sex in our bedroom or in a bed. I'm a fucking princess because anywhere else is uncomfortable. And if my body is uncomfortable, like the position, like hard, like for example, like the hallway, like your hallway, the hard floor, I don't want pounding in it, hurting my head while I can't enjoy that. So, because for me, when I have sex, I want to have lots of good orgasms and then thoroughly enjoy every fucking moment of them.
Right.
So we don't, like, we've not, I think maybe one time we started having sex in the kitchen and then I was like, this isn't working. Let's go over here. But never in the living room, not in the Florida room, never in the maybe one time in the basement. And then mainly just in the bedroom. That was it.
Really? I'd have sex all over your farm if I wasn't against... I am against having sex at people's houses. It's just not for me. But I would have sex all over your house if I actually lived
right,
there.
But we also have Pam. And we have a lot of women.
She'd have to divert her eyes. Those pigs would see a whole lot going on.
Do you know how many times she has walked into the house and walked back out and never said and we were upstairs...
Right.
Oh my gosh. I was like, oh, okay. Yep. Well, that's what we do.
I was thinking the only place I could think of that I haven't had sex that maybe I'd want to is on a beach.
No.
However, I don't like the sand on a beach. And then I also remembered that I had done it already in Megan's Bay in the Virgin Islands. Nate and I took a canoe out. Uh-huh. And all our friends and family, there were about 30 of us, were in this cove, in this beautiful tropical island. Nate and I rented a canoe, paddled our way out to where these rocks were.
Right.
Got out of the canoe, banged it out doggy style over a rock, and then got back into the canoe and canoed our way back.
So
technically there was sand underneath.
I have had sex on the beach. That is where I lost my virginity. On the beach.
Nice.
Yep. At night.
At night?
It was.
Was it really sandy?
Yeah, I mean, we planned for it, right? So, like, because we're 19. So, we were 19.
Oh, okay.
And we had done pretty much everything but. And so, I looked and I was like, okay, let's just do this. Like, I made the, we were both virgins. And so, you know, we got the towels out and the blankets or whatever. And we went for it. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, that was so, like, awkward. Now, it was awkward. And I don't know if it was because of the sand or just awkward. Because I was like, well, this does not feel like my dildo. And it was kind of weird. And then the moment I relaxed, he was done. I mean, it was so quick.
Oh, right.
But the next day, I banged the shit out of that motherfucker 3 times. I'm like, no. And then he had to deal with me because I had gotten my groove, like, you know, so I was like, right. You better get that dick back up. Let's go. Come on. Come on. You got 15 minutes. Let's go. Get that dick back up because mama needs another orgasm.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny. I can't imagine. Well, I imagine at 19, they can keep up, so right? They got that nice young. Oh, God. I shouldn't say that. I sound like a fucking pedophile.
Oh, my God. Sabrina.
I almost said it.
Oh, my God. Please. We don't need to start calling you Maxwell.
For real. Now, my first time wasn't great at all. It was like comforter on the ground on a bedroom floor. But I will say that I dated this guy who had the nickname Boner for a long time. And Boner and I, because I lived at home, I was 19. I'd moved back in with my stepmom. I lived at home. And like I said, I don't think it's appropriate to do it in somebody's house. And at that time, I didn't think that it was appropriate for us to do that in my... It was my home as well. It was my childhood home, but... under my stepmom's roof. I just didn't think it was appropriate. So I told him that we would have to wait. So there was a lot of kissing and finger banging and blowjobs and other things. But for 9 months, we did not have sex. And this was a man that was 22 years old and had plenty of sex before then. And now he's waiting for this girl. And so then the weekend we have to take my sister to college, my sister Charlene, Boner and I are going up there to help move her in, and we were going to stay in a hotel by ourselves for the first time ever. I don't know why we didn't think about getting a hotel before that.
Because it never occurs to you?
But, yeah, so we go up there, and it's so fucking silly. Because Boner is the first person, like, I truly loved, and I will still say, like, I did love him. That I cried when we had sex, but we had sex and then a few times, I think, before we saw my stepmom and sister, and my neck had hickeys all over it. And we're moving my sister into college in August. Like, there was no hiding it. I was utterly mortified. It was so embarrassing. But it was actually a very nice experience. It's something that's really stuck with me. Like, it was such a sweet, intentional moment that it meant a lot. And then after that, it didn't matter. That rule about not having sex with my son.
Well, yeah, because you got some.
Right?
You're like, heck yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So, that was it. Like I said, the very first time I lost my virginity to me wasn't as impactful as that first time I had sex with somebody that I actually liked. Actually was in love.
Makes sense.
It was a little different. So nothing on your bucket list.
I've never had a sex bucket list. I think the only thing that I've ever said that I would want to do is to go to one of those, a private sex club and watch.
I think I'd be into that too.
Right.
I'd
that
watch.
Would be about it. Outside of that, I am, trust me when I say, I am well satisfied and well diverse.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd probably watch. And weird enough, I think after a couple times, I'd probably sleep with Nate out in public there. Like, it probably wouldn't bother me. I'm not about people joining.
Well, see, I wouldn't have sex there, though.
Oh, I think but, I probably but
you
would
and
eventually.
Nate are okay with having sex in public. I really am not okay with having sex in public. It is mm-hmm. just my, that yeah. is like just a private thing for me. Like
mm-hmm.
the parties involved, if it was to ever expand, which it probably wouldn't, is there. It's in that room and it's private. Like not
right,
an event
right,
for
yeah.
all.
Right. And when I talk about having sex in public, I'm not saying we're allowing people to watch us. It is the movie theater bathroom, the communication office
oh
at the Jaguar Stadium, the family bathroom at the Veterans Memorial, the back alley behind a bar in San Marco, the side of the highway right near the Pepsi Cola plant on 95. On the physical driveway late at night on the way home.
All right,
no,
then.
Lots of places.
See, no.
But not with people watching. I'm not sure.
But
I think that I could
do
that. I think I could.
Watching. That's the thing. You're in. I mean, I think that's the part for me. Like, how do you know someone's not going to accidentally walk in, right? And people know what you're doing on the outside when you're in the fucking movie theater bathroom, okay? You're not hot, you're not convincing anybody you're not having sex. So they know.
I've never come across anybody ever when we've gone into the bathroom together and walked back out. I mean, that's why we purposely, like at our movie theater, there's a certain bathroom that is a family one that we go to because nobody fucking goes to it. Like, the only time I've ever been worried is maybe at the Jaguar Stadium when I was worried that we were locked in to the communication room and then we're like, oh, fuck, now what do we do? Or maybe in that back alley, there could be a security camera, but it's dark and who cares? What are they going to do? Put it online? I'm not embarrassed
well,
of what
go.
I did. that's not a concern of mine. Now, another question that came up with Nate and I was three wishes
yes.
from a genie. And so I wrote down my answers and I wanted to hear yours. Do you want me to go first?
I'll
go
first. All right. My three wishes are, the first one is I want to eat whatever the fuck I want and not get fat or get health issues from it. Yeah.
That's a beautiful one.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a great
the
one.
The second thing, I said we need to end world hunger. Too much food in this world for that shit to be happening. And then my third one mm-hmm. was $100 million tax-free. Tax-free in capital. Tax-free. Motherfuckers aren't taking
right.
my money.
Right. I'm going to add that word tax-free to mine. So I like those. I think I one day joked around and said that if I could have any type of like cosmetic surgery, I would request that them change my metabolism,
right.
if that was a thing, right? A metabolism that allows you to just eat whatever you want and be able to enjoy it without having to work out or sacrifice.
I know what that's like.
That.
I had that. It's called hyperthyroidism. And so as a kid,
yeah.
I literally could eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat whatever I wanted and never fucking gained weight.
And right. I bet
it's
a great feeling.
And I miss it.
Yeah.
I wish I had it
I
as
never
an
had
adult.
That feeling
but apparently
ever.
You don't really get it as an adult.
So, world hunger might be a little impossible. I feel like that's a cause that people have been working
if
on for years.
If a genie can make
decades.
Me eat whatever I want and not get fat, he can fucking figure out how to end world hunger.
I know. I think that's the only person that can is a genie. And then I like, how'd you come up with $100
million?
Well, I
saw your 15 and I went, that's a little too low. Let's go 100.
All right. So that's my number three is $15 million, and I'm going to add tax-free because I just figure $15 million is enough to make my life comfortable, make my kids' life comfortable, and then create generational wealth
right.
after that. A wealth that isn't super excess but allows my kids to work and invest and my kids' kids to maybe get involved in something that excites
right.
us as a family and that can be generational. My second wish, and this is where I started off from, is the question was something along the line, like if you could have one really good talent, what would it be? Is I would wish a genie to give me the ability and the talent to nail one good fucking karaoke song. First, I need the ability, because as extroverted as I am, the ability that I have to, I can walk into a bar, I can call everybody's attention, I can make a speech or an announcement without breaking a sweat. The moment you ask me to sing a song in front of people, I cry. And I've done it once. Okay. Like, I literally cried when somebody put my fucking name down. It creates such anxiety in me that ability just to go up there and fucking nail it. Just one.
You just need one under your belt.
Yeah, I just feel like that would be such a great talent to
have. Well, why not just, like, expand and say be, like, a natural performer, like, on a multi-billion dollar level, right? Why a karaoke song?
Because I love karaoke. I don't need to be a superstar. I don't need to be the next Katy Perry. I don't need to be the next Pink. I just want to be able to go into a bar and the show that I enjoy from other people. I love karaoke. I love going, singing along with the people. I love listening to them sing, mm-hmm. whether good or bad. I love their ability to be able to just fucking do it. I just want one.
Just need one. See,
yeah, I don't want it to be a full-time career. I don't want it to be something where I'm performing for people. I just need to nail one fucking song.
Well, all right then. See, I'm like you. The idea of getting on stage and singing scares the fucking shit out of me. And I don't like going to karaoke bars because every time I've gone, I had some asshole friends who always fucking put my name up there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I would never do that.
That's why, like, I always avoided karaoke bars. I was like, I'm not going. Nope, I'm going home. Screw this, because somebody would do that to me.
Yeah, I mean, the only time anybody's ever done that to me is an asshole that will soon be an ex-husband to one of our friends. So I don't think I have anything to worry about, hopefully. Because it really did make me cry. I cried. Like, the anxiety and pressure of having to go up there and people laughing at you. And it's just
absolutely
too much for me.
You know, I don't like it when people do shit like that. You know, and you don't know. Yeah. Like, the fucking mascot at that shrimp game, right? That baseball game. That was horrible for me. And, yeah.
I bet. It was frightening. Yeah.
That motherfucker chased me down the hallway, and I ended up in some back cafeteria, like, hiding.
Right. I remember. I'm trying to find, I'm scrolling through my phone really quick, because I did actually sing.
What song did you sing?
Bed of Roses by Seal? No, Guns N' Roses. I actually hate Seal. I think he is the ugliest man ever. Or Bon Jovi, excuse me. Hold on. But I did it in the Philippines, drunk as fuck with my cousin. Let's see, can you hear this? At that point, a Filipino man grabbed the microphone and started singing.
So, as for you guys who can't see what just happened, I literally took my headphones out because that was fucking horrible. It was so bad, and it hurt my ears. And then
the worst part is, in the Philippines, the number one pastime is karaoke. And those people are great singers. And here come my sister and I, these half-breeds, that the only thing we have to be good at is fucking karaoke. And we were terrible. So here's all these Filipino people looking at us with
they look at you with such pride and admiration when you walk in because you're Americans. And then we go to sing. And then to find out that we're Filipinos, too, they're like, yeah. And then we started to sing. And the faces of everybody is just like, this is fucking
they're like,
terrible.
Wow, how did this happen?
And they love Bon Jovi. We fucking killed. It was terrible. Absolutely
oh my gosh.
Terrible. So, and thank goodness for video recordings, because now I have a copy of it. But I'm the only one
yes.
who has a copy of it.
Yes, thank goodness. Thank goodness. I agree.
So then my third wish is I'd like to be on a jury trial, a murder jury trial that's going to deep dive into something.
That is an odd wish.
And I just want to be a part of... That I've watched so many murder shows. I've watched so many unsolved mystery shows, Dateline, podcasts, this or that. I want, and I'm going to have to lie to get on the jury. Because when they ask you questions like, do you have any preconceived, fuck yeah, I do. But my answer is going to be like, nope. Very open-minded. I'm here to
right.
do my job.
I have a, what was it? Because I just watched The Judge. It's an old movie with Robert Downey Jr. and Robert Duvall, I think. And it's a really good movie. Have you ever seen it? Okay.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, write it down,
watch it.
Basically, what happens is it's about a strange relationship between a father who is the judge, who actually is a judge, and the son, who turns out to be... one of the top lawyers in New York, a criminal lawyer. He comes home because mom had died. Obviously, the relationship is still strained. There's, you know, pretty standard, right? He leaves small town.
Mm-hmm.
He's so angry at the world, blah, 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 kind of deal. Well, dad gets in trouble, and now big shot son's got to help him. And, of course, in the process, there's a lot of fighting, and then there's a lot of relationship developing towards the end. So that's all I'll mm-hmm. say because it's a really good movie.
I'll have to. Where did you watch it?
It was on like HBO.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good. I have HBO Max now. By the way, if you have AT&T as your internet provider, HBO Max is free,
oh.
which we just found out. So I don't know if anybody has it, go on and
very nice.
Check it out.
All right.
I'm going to look up where it's streaming.
So you talked to me about a bucket list. Not a sexual one, just a real one. Now that one,
okay.
I got down. All right.
All right, shit, what's
so
on it?
So I want to go to Taj Mahal. I want to kiss the Blarney
uh-huh.
Stone. I want...
Where is that?
That's
Wait,
in
tell
Ireland.
Us where is that?
Okay. And you kind of have to lean over a bridge to kiss it. And it's supposed to give you the gift of
mm-hmm.
gab, which I don't think I really need, but I'm still want to kiss the blind. I want to go see
right.
the Northern Lights and stay in an igloo.
Nate really wants to do
I want
that.
To go to Germany, where my mother and grandmother are from. And, of course, I want to go to Auschwitz.
Mm-hmm.
I want to sail the world on a catamaran. I want to
okay.
go back to Europe. I want to go see the Colosseum and the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I want to spend
okay.
some time on a true Italian vineyard and actually work the land with, like, the family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so kind of like that
yeah.
movie Walk in the
yes.
Clouds with Keanu
yep.
Reeves.
Very,
yeah,
very much like that.
Nice.
I want to go to Israel. I want to walk
okay.
the... I'm not quite sure what it was, but the path that Jesus took, I want to walk that.
Oh, yeah.
And then mm-hmm. kind of the rest, because I kind of looked up stuff, but hang gliding, I do want to go, and this one's been on my list since I was, like, 20. I want to go scuba diving in the barrier reefs with great white sharks in Australia.
Oh.
And, of course, in a cage.
Yeah.
You know, but I definitely want to
mm-hmm.
do that. I want to stay at an elephant resort. And I want to, like, touch or ride an elephant.
Yeah, you can do that in
yeah.
Thailand. It's beautiful.
And then
yeah. you touch and you bathe them
yep,
and you do
that
all kinds
of
stuff.
One
of
the big things I want to do. I want to hang glide. And then I want to release baby turtles into the ocean. And then relax in a natural spring. And that's all I could come up with in the time that I had. But
That's really good. I mean, that's a pretty extensive list. I will tell you that there is a place in Florida that is an really? Elephant sanctuary in north central Florida, because one of my in-laws from Georgia was looking for it for her wife, and somebody put it on there. I can ask her about it, where you don't necessarily have to go to Thailand or Asia to do that.
That's crazy. I didn't know it was here.
Yeah, I'll find out. Rachel knows. I'll find out. A lot of travel in your bucket list. When are you going to start?
I am hoping to have some things taken care of in the next 3 years and then allow myself to start traveling. The goal is to eventually, I'm working on generating my own income and trying to get Dion retired. And it won't happen, you know, quite yet. But so then we can go and get this stuff done. So, because as you know, our original plan was not to buy this farm, but was to buy a catamaran and sail the world. So that is still very much on the list of things to get done. You know, even if we only go around once, you know, because it takes a whole year. So,
But, so do you think that with that catamaran, then you can get some of those items checked off on your bucket list?
Right.
Oh, perfect.
Because I can sail to Italy and dock the boat and then go do things in Italy and go into Europe. Because we kind of talked about retirement, and we might not be retiring in the States. We may be retiring in a country very much like Portugal.
Yeah.
We started looking at it because it is the third safest country in the world, way above the United States. It's much cheaper to live there. Their immigration or residency process is so easy.
Right.
You know, you basically buy a house there, and in 5 years, you have your citizenship.
Oh, that's good.
That's it. You buy a house or you put $500,000 into them, right? Then they automatically give you citizenship.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that's a little different than, and the funny thing is I think that a lot of people hear stuff like this, like, oh, I want to retire in this foreign country, and think that it's so absurd that it wouldn't happen. But the truth of the matter is there are a lot of people that go down to the Caribbean and buy property in Brazil or Honduras and you can buy and build for less than $100,000.
Yes.
And as long as you have collected your retirement money, you really can. Like, that is, I think people really like hear stuff like that, like buy a catamaran and sell the world, and think that that's not possible.
But it,
where I can, it definitely is.
Right, because when you do something like that, you don't have things like your house, because your house in the States is so much more expensive than it would be in Portugal. Right?
Right.
I mean, what we paid for our house here in Portugal would be a fucking mansion, a compound.
Right, yeah.
You know? And we don't want that. We just like, and we were thinking about it, like, oh, a small little house. But then we're also like, you know, maybe all we want is a little condo that's got a great view and we can go to town every day and then go travel.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. The other thing is, you know, all those places in Europe, Nate and I were going to sleep the other night, and we talked about the fact that we wanted to visit. We were watching Below Deck Mediterranean, and like the coast there is so beautiful. And so then we were talking about the fact that we want to go to Europe and see Italy, Spain, France, not so much France, Italy, Spain, Greece, those areas. Yeah. But that the first time we do it, we'd like to do it via cruise ship, because I'd like to go and kind of bump around and see a bunch of different places and then go to a specific place
later
individually,
right?
Rather than just pick one of these places and then us not loving it as much as the other.
We've done the same thing kind of like with the Caribbean. We have sailed almost every route that Carnival has allowed. I don't have any desire to keep doing that. But what I do have a desire to do is go to Honduras specifically, to go to Aruba again specifically, mm-hmm. and spend time there now that we've seen it.
Right.
There's a few of those islands that I don't need to ever see again.
Right. So what I did when I was in college was my humanity courses, I studied abroad. And what happened mm-hmm. was, it was 6 weeks of classes, right? And then we went to Europe for 2 or 3 weeks. I think it was 2 weeks, okay?
Oh, wow.
So, but now, mind you, it was a leisure, but it wasn't a leisure activity, right? Mm-hmm. You had every day that was planned out, but because you had guides. So we flew into London. I have been to the Westminster. I have been to Parliament. I have gone on the London Eye. And mind you, I was 19. So this was back when it was still all real open.
Right.
I've been to the dungeon. We then went over to Italy. I've been into Rome. I've been into Vatican. I've been to Assisi. I've been to, Florence. I've walked the Vatican. I've been in, the Sistine Chapel. I've seen the Mona. Oh, okay. I've seen the Mona Lisa. I've seen the David. I've seen original Rembrandts. And I mean, these groups, these tours, right? If history is what you're looking for and to mm-hmm. see all the sites, that is the way to do it, because they get you in and there's no standing in line. You just walk in. You know,
right.
Do you know what I mean? In order to mm-hmm. see all of these things, unless you're backpacking through Europe. And when you do that, you'll stand in line and not see anything.
Right, right.
So that's why I liked it, because I've seen 90% of everything in the history books
mm-hmm.
from Europe.
Yeah, and I think that's how old were you when you did that?
19.
Yeah, so and imagine how much more you'd even get out of it now to go back to just the ones that kind of impacted you the most.
Oh, yeah.
To go back and visit those things with your husband or somebody else, you know.
Right, or like spend more time in the Louvre, because
you
can't get it all. And Napoleon's castle, holy shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, and see, there's some of that that I truly don't have a desire to see. Like,
right.
Paris to me is some place I could be good never going to. However, Ireland, Scotland,
yeah,
that really interests me. The coastline itself just interests me.
Right.
The you know, terrain, same thing with the Mediterranean. It's so fucking beautiful.
Right.
That I want to experience those little villages along the coastline and those things. And the great thing that Nate and I said is that it's possible.
Right. It is.
Right. It feels good to be able to say, like, we actually can go there one day.
Yeah. When I went, the course was like $3,500 to go. Now, mind you, 19 years ago, right? I paid for it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Parents didn't give me any money. I had to come up with the $3,500 for the course, all my spending money, and everything that I needed while I was over there. And it was an amazing experience. And it's so interesting because I haven't traveled a lot after, you know, I entered the real world. Because then it's like, oh, it's so hard. You can't get the time off. You can't get the money. You know what I mean? But when mm-hmm. Dion and I went to Mexico last year, when we went to the ruins, the old ruins, I love seeing the old the castles and the churches and knowing what's behind
right.
it and the paintings and the architecture and just all of that stuff. I could just go and stare at it forever.
Yeah, I love the architecture and history side of it. Like going to the New York Library, for example, where
right.
My best friend was like, what the fuck are we even doing here? And I'm like, how can you not appreciate the architecture of the building, knowing just the limited amount of tools and resources they had to build these things? And when we're talking about Europe and Mexico, we're going back even further.
Oh,
my
gosh.
They built these amazing coliseums and statues and arts and with zero power tools. I mean, yeah. It's just fucking amazing engineering.
Oh, it is. I mean, so one of the really cool things was, and I can't remember where it was, but I've seen the Madonna, right? Mm-hmm. And you know that's the statue with Mary holding Jesus as a baby.
Okay.
And in the 70s, someone took a hammer to it.
Oh, man.
So they destroyed it. Now, let me tell you what happened. This is how smart they've come along. They were able to basically re-glue it. It is now behind bulletproof glass. And then with the way that the lighting is, there's not a fucking dent on it.
Oh, really?
You would have never known that it was destroyed.
Huh.
Because of the way that they, just all the science.
Right, right. So, on your bucket list, what would be your number one? Where are you going?
Where am I going? Okay, so is it just the desire one or the financial one that I could actually get to?
I would do your financial one because, right, to me, if you're going to make a bucket list, I would start with what's accomplishable so that you feel, because if you start with the top that is the most expensive, it feels like you're never going to get any of it done.
Right. So that would probably be the elephant resort, the baby turtles, the natural spring, hang gliding, that kind of thing. And then from there, moving up to the stuff where you've got to travel.
Mm-hmm. What would be your number one travel destination then?
My number one, it's a tie between either Israel or going to the Taj Mahal.
Okay. Nice. Obviously, we have to revisit our California summer trip next year since we were supposed to be leaving in 3 days.
I know.
But Nate and I think our next trip will then be a European cruise.
Nice.
Just that way we can narrow down where we want to go after that.
There are, so if you want to do Europe, there are river cruises.
Mm-hmm.
That are phenomenal, and they're more expensive, and mind you, you got to fly over there, but they're well worth it because you get to see all the sights from the cruise. Like, they go in Europe, especially
We have a good listener and friend, Jamie Lemaster, that is a travel agent, and when I was looking at my 40th birthday a couple years ago, this was one of the options that I was looking at. And she quoted some of those smaller cruise lines, too, so that you could get more out of it. She also quoted, you know, just going over there and hopping different places on your own via train, via whatever,
right,
and finding excursions there. And then also doing it through big cruise lines, too. So there are definite options, but that is my number one place to go,
okay,
Nate and I next.
So what's on your bucket list?
I didn't realize we were creating an individual bucket list outside of sex.
Oh, okay. Well, you said bucket list, sex bucket list, so I assumed it was two separate things.
I was just clarifying where my mind was. I wrote a 40th bucket list, and quite honestly, I didn't accomplish a ton of it because I never went back and looked at it. I could say, you know, that if I'm just going to fly off the cusp, is that I want to do this Mediterranean bucket list. I would like to get my family out to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to spend a week in Honduras with, again, my kids and husband. I'd like to do a week of an RV travel around the U.S. because there's a lot of places that we haven't been up in the Northeast, in the West. There's a ton that we haven't seen that I would like to go and do.
Right.
And then I think that's really it.
That's all doable.
Yeah, I feel like it all is. I think that's the good thing, is that it's we're coming to a point in our life where we can start creating these bucket lists and checking them off.
Right.
Which is exciting. Oh, look at you. You got your first dog bark.
I know, little shitheads.
Speaking of bucket list, did you see, I don't know where I'm transitioning to. Well, first, let's talk about what my sister tagged you in.
Which
is not about bucket list at all. My sister tagged you in the fact that Kristen Stewart is playing Princess Diana in a new movie. One of her favorite Tabby lines is calling her a stuttering goat.
She is a fucking stuttering goat. I cannot stand this little cunt.
How do you feel about her playing Princess Diana? First of all, she looks like a fucking homeless person to me. And Princess Diana is so...
soft and sweet, and she looks like a raging bitch.
Yeah, she just looked
with
like...
that whole, that, like, face. You're not going to tell me anything. I'm Kristen Stewart. You fucking goat.
Right.
Like, I can't stand her. So I pulled up an article, or the one you sent me. And then the director, Lauren, goes, Kristen is one of the greatest actors today. To do this well, you need something important in film. Mystery. Fuck you. She doesn't have mystery. She has a void of emotion and thought. That's not a mystery.
Right.
She's a fucking idiot.
I was wondering if you were going to read all the way down. And I saw where the director producer started complimenting her as one of the greatest actresses alive. And I was wondering if you were going to see that.
I saw it. And then it's like saying her films are so diverse. Bitch, her films haven't changed since Panic Room. Jesus. And just for you guys to know, Kristen Stewart's been in films since Panic Room with Jodie Foster.
Great movie.
Yes. And you know why? Because Jodie Foster was the main character and not the stuttering goat. She was just the dumb kid.
You're right. I forgot she was the daughter in that. I'm writing that down. My son needs to watch that.
Yeah, and then tell me how many times she stuttered in that movie.
So listen.
I can't talk. Oh, I'm so scared. Fuck off.
Lorelai said that she wanted to watch all of the Twilight series because she had never seen it before.
Okay.
So we started it Monday night, I think. Mm-hmm. We watched one. Nate went to bed. I started the second one with her. I fell asleep on the couch. I wake up at 5 o'clock and Lorelai is wide awake and on number 5. Really? She's made it all the way to the end. And I was like, Lorelai, what are you doing? And she was like, Mama, why do they have to end every single one on a cliffhanger?
Well, yeah.
So she got sucked in. So I just want to share that rewatching the movie, fucking terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible movies. And I hate her more than I ever have.
Uh-huh. Did you or Lorelai ever read the books?
Yeah, I read all the books. Lorelai has not.
Okay. So now you even hate her more because, you remember, the books were good.
Yeah, the books were good. She is a terrible, terrible actress, especially in the first one. The first one was really bad. They did it a lot better with the music, with everything. The whole series, though, is pretty fucking cheesy. The movie-wise, the music that they add, just the stuff was terrible. It looked low budget. And you could tell it got better by number 5.
Well, because it was low budget, because the production company that had picked them up was low budget. Even the books were low budget.
Right.
So,
well, that makes sense because you can tell that it was, especially in the beginning.
Yeah.
Of course, the whole way I was asking Lorelai, Team Jacob, Team Edward. And she is Team Edward. She is good in girl. For it. However, we both find Team Jacob to be the more attractive of the two.
Oh, well, definitely. That's because they didn't cast Edward correctly.
Yeah, listen, Jacob had a fucking come up. When he cut his hair and got muscles, all of a sudden we were like, oh, hello.
Hello. Yes, yes, most of. Well, that's because they totally made it where it was Edward was the refined one. He was the one you were supposed to pick. He was more worried about her safety and protecting her, mm-hmm. right? More like confining her, where Jacob was like, I am sexy and we're going to be fucking wild and woo. And like, as a woman, you're choose between either the good guy that's kind of cute or the bad guy that's really fucking hot. And at that age, your hormones are like, I want to fuck that wolf.
Right.
But my brain tells me I want to stay with this, you know, secure vampire.
Right, right. The security of a vampire. So I think the movie's going to bomb. Just like they bombed in Charlie's Angels. She's going to ruin this Princess Diana film.
Which is horrible.
Yeah, for sure. The other thing before we wrap up is you sent me an article from Pop Sugar, 40 plus things that made summers in the 90s, all that in a bag of chips.
Woo woo!
Which I used to say, all that in a bag of chips.
Oh, yeah, we all did. What were your first things?
Well, hold on, I'm just scrolling through. First of all, every one of the songs I live for. I still play Summertime by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. We still constantly have these polar pops or these frozen popsicles.
Uh-huh.
That's like a staple to me of summertime. Super Soakers, love it.
Yep.
Still love them. Love a good old-fashioned water balloon fight, any type of fight. Bleaching your hair with Sun-In. My dad wouldn't let me buy Sun-In, but I used to use peroxide during the summer. And dye strips of highlights in my hair. And so that he would think that the sun naturally had it happen. But actually, I was in the bathroom dumping peroxide on my hair.
Yeah, I know. I never did that.
Toe rings, of course. I definitely had toe rings. And what was my other one? I Know What You Did Last Summer. First of all, I didn't realize that was a book, but it is a great movie that I used to watch all the time. And yep. We actually just watched it the other day, too.
Really?
Yeah, we watched one and two. We watch a lot of movies from the 90s here the time.
That's because we're from the 90s.
Yeah. So what about you? What were your top choices out of there that all remind right. you of summer?
Dillias? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Loved putting together outfits from that store or that catalog. That was the best.
Did you actually order from the catalog?
Yeah.
See, my parents never would let me. So I would get the catalog in, but I never bought anything from
it. It was very rare because everything was so expensive.
Right.
So, Slip Inside, of course. Mm-hmm. Right? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle ice cream.
Oh, you like it?
I fucking loved that ice cream because that was like 17 steps better than those other pops we were talking about. So like if you got one of those ice creams, you were fucking balling for the day.
And you had to get them from the ice cream man, right? Is that where yes. they came from? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I love getting similar taste. To that is the baseball glove mitt ice cream that the ice cream man would sell. It's the same exact taste, but in the middle of the baseball glove was also a ball that was made to look like a baseball, so it was bubble gum.
Oh, see, we never had that one.
Yeah, so it was the Ninja Turtle taste, but with a piece of bubble gum at the end as well.
Nice. Well, the eyes were bubble gum, remember?
Oh, they were. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So, and then the other thing was the song Shoop. Has nothing to do with summer. That just has to do with that's the best fucking song in life.
Yeah.
So at your son's graduation, Shoop came on and me and your sister just started fucking hashing it out.
I love the 90s.
That was so awesome. And then my last thing was I love my jellies. And my Sandlot. Watch that movie over and over and over again.
You're killing me, Smalls. Yeah, I love that. Exactly.
And then, of course, I rocked my power wheel.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't have a power wheel.
Yep, I had one.
Yeah, I didn't have a power wheel. Now, it's funny that the ad or the starting picture was the Saved by the Bell cast on vacation. I watched Saved by the Bell religiously. Uh-huh. And I do remember during the summers, they had Saved by the Bell working at the Beverly Hills Beach Club.
Yep.
And so in my mind, that's what California was. It was Zach Morris on the beach,
mm-hmm.
90210 in summer times. Yeah. That really stuck with me.
Yeah, you don't see that anymore. And then did you watch the wedding when Zach and Kelly got married?
In Las Vegas. I actually just saw an ad for that. I think it's playing on Peacock TV. Zach and Kelly's marriage.
Do you remember when we watched that, we thought they were so rich and amazing?
Yeah.
And then now I look back and I'm like, ooh, no. You're mm-hmm. a bunch of poor kids not knowing what the fuck you were doing.
Kelly Kapowski was, I mean, not Kelly Kapowski, but Lisa Turtle, I think, was probably the most wealthy one.
Right.
She was an only child and spoiled and had all the best clothes. And Kelly was dirt poor. Her father was a Marine or something like that, or military person.
Right.
Yeah. And then you remember Zach Morris's giant phone?
Oh, yeah, and he was so proud of it. Like, oh, look at this. I got
it. It was so big. It's bigger than this Vente fucking Starbucks cup. It was ginormous.
Yeah, well, that's all they had.
Yeah. I remember that. I think the reason the Super Soaker sticks with me is that my dad came home from being out to sea one time and insisted that he went out and bought this monster Super Soaker because while they were out to sea, they had gotten into a water gun fight. Out to sea on a ship where they had gotten a key to the captain's quarters and the officers and gone in and stole their Super Soakers. And so my dad said at one point there was an announcement made saying, so-and-so, they're all gone. And you could see they were in the chow hall or wherever, and whoever's guns they had taken, they like all put it down, looked around and like slowly walked away because they knew the war was starting.
He
said it was just filled with water. Like they were, and that my dad wore glasses. So there was the Super Soaker my dad ended up buying was a giant Super Soaker with the fucking water tank on it.
Nice.
Because he was getting squirted by one and the guy had glasses and he said that he was able just to, or he had glasses. So he was able to walk up, reach around and disconnect the hose.
Oh, gotcha.
And then his team could start squirting that guy. So to me, that was just like this summer where my dad was an adult having fun with his friends and we had a barbecue and my dad had to go out and get even bigger Super Soakers and somebody ended up in our hot tub that my dad pushed them all into. And now that I'm older, I realize he was our age.
Having fun.
Fucking around with his friends where, you know, it's cool.
Yeah, it is. We need to do more fucking around with our friends.
Yeah, well, we need to get back to that. We'll see when that happens.
Right. So I know. True.
I know. Well, we miss everybody.
Yes, we do.
Ugh. So, all right. Anything else you want to talk about? I know we have a couple that we didn't, but we're coming up on our time here.
Yep. Nope. I think we are good to go, girl.
Okay, I will just mention one thing, and I'm interested to see how this turns out, but I think we're going to hear items to talk about later from the NBA bubble. If people don't know what the NBA bubble is, the NBA has decided to reopen. They are using a Disney resort to bring all the teams,
right,
limited staff. They will be feeding, clothing, caring. There's no coming in and out of the NBA bubble because of COVID, and they will be playing and competing. And so you have to think about the staff that will be feeding these multimillionaires who have all these special diets, these multimillionaires that live in these giant fucking mansions that are now being told where to sleep, eat this or that so that they don't get COVID and shut everything down. Think about the men that require sexual stimulation before they play, right? It was said that Magic Johnson had a room that he would bang out chicks before he went and played a game. Are they sneaking in the hoes and bitches? Like, how is all of this going down? And the shit show that I imagine is going to happen and the stories that come out of this place, the fits that these athletes are going to throw, I'm here for it. I'm excited for it. I wish they were filming it because this real life reality of spoiled athletes in a bubble.
Pretty much. And being denied their privileges.
Their simple request of, I don't eat grade whatever beef. I only eat Wagyu cooked a certain...
Too fucking bad. Because I read an article. They get no say in what they can eat other than like dietary restrictions. But there's no special ordering or whatever. I mean, you're getting Disney food and that's it. Welcome to the fucking real world, people. Welcome.
I'm so excited for it. I'm here for it. I'm ready for the whining. I'm ready for the complaining. I'm here for it.
Yep, exactly.
All right, that's all I got. All
right, guys. So, as always, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, give us a shout out at notasafespacepodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Have a great day, guys.
Bye.
Bye.